Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. It's the third quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle here. As promised, this is Ask Greg, our weekly segment where Greg Pickle answers questions from you guys. We'll go through a bunch of them. We will determine who's got the best question, and we will award a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com, where if you're looking for a unique gift idea, that's a great place to start. If you got a Penn State fan, they got the blue and white wine gift box. They pair wines and barbecue packages with sauces and rubs. Check all that out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. And as mentioned, tailgatewine.com will be giving away a bottle of wine to whoever Greg determines has the best question. He's got all the power in the palm of his hands, and he will start wielding it right now. Let's start with David from Lancaster. Says, most times position battles in spring and summer fall into one of three categories. One, there's a true leader, but the coaches don't want to give it away. Two, there are two really good options, but they're even and it's hard to separate. Or three, there are two guys that neither is stepping up and it's an issue. Is there a way to tell which of the three is the case based on how the coaches speak or the blue-white game? That's an interesting question.
It is. Man, I'll tell you what. I don't know if it's just the way they come off the sheet or if you order these so that the most interesting question tends to be first. But, again, another high bar set. I think James Franklin has been about as open as he could be regarding all of this, the Tommy Stevens part of it, and also the fact that, you know, Stevens would be the guy. I mean, when Trace McSorley was the clear, you know, incumbent to replace Christian Hackenberg, there was no point where Franklin said, yeah, McSorley's our number one guy going into spring practice or summer camp for that matter. So I think he's been as open about it as can be. It's a competition. There's always going to be a competition, but Tommy Stevens has the right to lose the job. I think that's how the program views it. I think that's how it plays out. Sean Clifford will have to do something above and beyond, really, to be able to take over that job and win it outright from Stevens, a guy who's been around for a lot of years and obviously has been fighting for this job for quite some time.
So what you've got a lot of experience now. So what is it, 6 years or so, five years of trying to read between the lines with James Franklin? How do you read between the lines whenever he's, you know, because he goes a variety of directions. Right. So the question from David is more, okay, when James Franklin is saying X, Y, and Z, what conclusions do you draw from it when it comes to position battles? Quarterback is one where there's just not a lot of incentive. You know, for a lot of these positions, there's not a lot of incentive to say, well, so-and-so's got it.
Right.
But how do you interpret what he's saying? Like, what lens would you look through to try to figure out how James Franklin is addressing these positions?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the times James Franklin says he's trying to communicate to somebody besides the person in the media who asks a question about something. You know, he's trying to communicate to a player or maybe a family member or maybe the fans or maybe the entire offense or maybe the coaching staff, you know. And the quicker you can discern who he's actually trying to target with his message, the better off you'll be in terms of trying to figure out what exactly it is that he's getting at. So I think that ultimately the message I would expect him to say is that, look, we feel good coming out of spring about our quarterback position. We're obviously trying to replace a record-setting quarterback who was the winningest quarterback in program history, so it won't be easy. But I think from the Penn State perspective, you'll hear James Franklin say that he thinks that they're in a good spot, and obviously the battle will continue and that Trace and Tommy will both have Tommy and Sean Clifford will both have a leadership role on the team moving forward.
Good question there, though. I think, you know, that James Franklin knows psychology, so he's going to be a step ahead of most of us when it comes to that. But I think that's a really good point. Who is he meaning this comment for? Because he doesn't say anything that's not deliberate.
Right.
So that David, would be the tip, I guess, is who is he trying to communicate to? Rob from New Jersey, I think I get the gist of this question. You have three options. One will transfer. One you get to keep. One you will never get. The three choices: Saquon Barkley, Mike Gesicki, Trace McSorley. Transfer, keep, never get.
Transfer, keep, never get. And it's Trace, Mike, and Saquon.
Yes.
So in terms of never get, you mean never get for as a recruit?
You will never land them as a recruit, yeah.
Do we know, are we using what they did once they got here as a means to answer this question or no?
I think you have to.
Well, I'm just,
you can't rule out, all these guys have come and gone.
Right.
You can't rule out what you know about
them. I was going to say, because it'd be very easy. It'd be an easy question if we were just using their pre-Penn State info.
The shade of gray here is, wow. Okay, a guy's going to transfer. Does that mean he transfers before he ever sees the field?
Right.
In which case, that's the same as never get.
Right.
Right?
And then what was the third one? Transfer, never get, and?
Keep.
Keep. Keep Barkley. Oh man! Keep Barkley.
Let's say you get the transfer one. You get 1 year of production, then they transfer.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm keeping Trace. I'll let Barkley transfer and never get Gesicki. I guess. I don't know. I don't know if there's a good way to answer that question.
Like there's
like I just think we saw with Miles Sanders, like he's not Saquon Barkley, but if you give me 1 year of Barkley and then I have to find somebody else to sort of carry his torch, I think it's going to be easier to find a running back who might be close to him than it will be to find a quarterback that's close to Trace McSorley. And we're kind of going to see that play out this year, whether that hypothesis is right or not.
So the choice there, so it's an interesting – so if you got 1 year out of McSorley and then he transferred, and now you're looking at Tommy Stevens being the candidate to start as what would he have been, a redshirt sophomore?
Yes.
At that point? That would have put the program in a sticky situation.
Right.
Or if Trace transfers before, you know, and Tommy's a redshirt freshman, that puts the program in a sticky situation. The quarterback position is obviously more valuable. It was also more fragile than running back. So,
right.
You know, but Barkley was so transcendent as putting Penn State on the map, changing how they can recruit running backs forever, really, I mean, for the foreseeable future, becoming that hip program, because Barkley is one of the most hip players in the NFL. And I know that me using the word hip automatically makes me not hip, but right. I'm still going to say it anyway. So it's interesting, and maybe we're diving way too deep into this, but it's a good starting point for a question there from Rob.
It was.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. These are your Penn State football and recruiting questions brought to you by tailgatewine.com. Dominic from Cranberry Township, our good friend Dominic, said James Franklin mentioned in his Wednesday presser that the offensive line is okay up to the twos. I assume that means second team.
Right.
But they need depth beyond that. As a solution, he mentioned obtaining some transfers possibly. Do you have any intel as to who they might be? He said that?
Yeah. Well, I think he's referring to George Campbell, who, as we talked about in the last segment, isn't on campus yet, which means, as far as I know,
so James, he mentioned being sort of mentioned the transfer market, but not specifically when it comes to the offensive line, as Dominic is asking.
Well, so it was you could parse his answer a number of different ways. Like, it kind of felt like he was talking about the offensive line. But then it kind of felt like he was just talking in general, like we have some needs that we're going to try to address in the off, you know. And did the kid from Virginia ever end up committing anywhere? What was his name? Here we go.
Just do that thing where you go.
Yeah, I'll just talk. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of names out there. It's going to be hard. Look, I mean, I thought Ralph Russo from the Associated Press put it perfectly over the last couple of days on Twitter, where he's like, you know, you're more than welcome to be excited about your new transfer. Just remember, he's probably only there because he couldn't start at his old school. And RJ Proctor's that kid's name. I don't know if he ended up anywhere or not, but you know, he's one guy they're going to keep an eye on and try and get. But I don't know, man. At the end of the day, you can hope that you can go get a transfer and have it work out, but more likely than not, it probably won't.
I think what you're hoping for is a stabilizing guy on your depth chart. If you are in the transfer market looking for impact players, you're probably looking for the wrong thing. But if you're looking for a second team right guard who's made a handful of starts, who's ready from a physical standpoint, who knows what it's like to play big time college football, who knows how to balance academic, you know, that's the appeal, as somebody who could help you in a pinch, maybe not necessarily lead your team to glory. So yeah, I think that's fair. But there's not a lot of intel out there as to who might be in, who might be out, that kind of thing. We won't know until they start taking visits and stuff. Dave from Wisconsin says, Greg, you probably want some non-transfer portal questions.
That'd be great.
This is – we haven't had a lot of transfer portal stuff, have we?
Not really. Not lately, right.
That first wave came and went. When will the portal talk die down? It kind of already did. Is there a date window to it, or will the subject be there at the end of every semester? If it is only something at the end of each season for a month, okay, good to know. Besides, if it's at the end of each semester or year-round, why would a current roster player announce in January intend to transfer at the end of the spring if that is when they graduate? If it were me, Dave said he'd stay quiet about it so he could continue to train and attend spring practice with his current school, then announce in May or June that he's entering the portal. There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
First and foremost is
I'm going to need to drink Blue and Light just to get through that question.
Well, okay. So I would just say this. You don't put your name in the portal with the idea that you're announcing it to the world. That's just how that played out.
Well, right. Well, I mean, some guys have now decided to do that. They've kind of seen the writing on the wall and realized that if they go into the portal, which, look, you have to go into the portal to be able to contact other schools. It's just the way it works. So, you know, I mean, I think obviously in a perfect world, you know, these guys could do it the way Tommy Stevens did it under the radar and all that. But at the end of the day, it looks like to me that, you know, that those guys are going to have to put their name in the portal, which means the word is probably going to get out there sooner rather than later, which means they might as well do it. Keep in mind, too, that Penn State, I don't know how Penn State handled this. Like at Pro Day, Juwan Johnson was like walking around in Penn State stuff. So, I mean, it's a weird situation though. How do you tell a guy and his family that you basically, you know, you did everything you could to get them to come to your team? How do you then just throw them out the door because they want to go find somewhere else that's better? But at the same time, you're paying for them to basically not be a part of your program. It's such a weird dynamic, and it's a hard dynamic. I think you're almost forced, if the kid wants to be able to stick around and train, you're almost forced to do that, because how's it going to look if you're preaching family and then as soon as that family member does something you don't like, you kick them to the curb? You know, it's a difficult balance, but I think, you know, but the other thing too is to visit schools, you have to put your name in the portal. So if you want to go see a spring game or a spring practice to see if that school's right for you, guess what? You've got to go in the portal. Again, portal entries are not publicly declared, but they get out there quicker than that.
It's real leaky because there's incentive for it to be leaky. All right. So we got, what, four questions out there. Which one was the best?
There were a lot of good ones this week. Honestly, I'm going to go with the first one. Or no, let's go with the Saquon one.
The transfer yeah. Keep and never get?
Right.
I like that question.
Yeah.
That got me animated. So if that's the determining factor. There you go. That's Rob from New Jersey. We'll be in touch about a bottle of tailgate wine. So there you go. Be sure to download the Keystone Sports app if you want to ask Greg a question, and check us out for all your Penn State football needs at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.